the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here, your host of this show, the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome one and all, you guys. I'm glad you're here. If you are just joining me, welcome, and you'll see very quickly what goes on here. This is my weekly podcast where I discuss all things related to health and happiness, how to live better in the modern world. Of course, I touch on nutrition. I'm a certified nutritionist, health coach. I run a wellness center in Mendocino, California, north coast of California at the Stanford Inn. And come here each week to discuss things, themes that I revisit, and also new stuff, thoughts on how we're doing as a species, and more importantly, how we can do better. Try to make things enjoyable. I know that's, you know, it's usually a kind of a dry subject, health and happiness, but it doesn't have to be. And we all, since we're looking for joy and happiness, I figure let's play into that part of it. The happier we are, the better we do as a species, in my opinion. The only question is what really makes us happy. And I have an opinion about that, which is that I think that ultimately happiness is a function of long-term thinking. It's a function of making decisions that serve us and make us happy long-term. Not 100% of the time. Sometimes we do things, especially in the modern world, that are more short-term, and that's excellent too. I just think there's a balance between the short-term and the long-term. As I've been saying recently, I think that the short-term pleasures that we often partake in, like light box foods, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to sidgarzahillman.com, put your email address in, you'll get a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto, that discusses my nutritional approach, so you can get all you need to know there. But I will refer in that chapter and all over the place to heavy box, light box foods, healthier foods. And I think that the light box foods we partake in, and also things like alcohol and drugs, given the stress of the modern world, it's no surprise that we go after short-term pleasure, that we go after something that's going to today take the heat off, just to give us a freaking break. And so it is a balance of that. But through my small steps approach, I want people to incorporate also long-term happiness, choices that benefit us and make us happy long term. That's the struggle, because we are so busy. I was just talking today, more on that in a second, about how mediated we are in the modern world. We have very little direct connection with even the things that are necessary for our basic survival, like food. We don't anymore go out and just pick food and eat it, or however you get food. We have to drive to a job, sit in a job, and then work as many hours as necessary for a given amount of time until we get our paycheck, and then take that paycheck and go to the bank and get that into the account. And then we go to the store and we buy food, and then we're still not done, because we don't just eat food from the store. We got to come home and prepare it and cook it and prep it and everything else. That's a massive amount of undertaking just to eat the simplest of things. Every wild animal in the world just eats, just finds food and eats. Maybe they have to move their bodies a little bit to get it. That's it. Pretty quick stuff for everybody but us, and we spend a ton of time. And then when you figure in the thinking about food on top of that, and the fear around food on top of that, is it really any wonder that we're prone to advertising and marketing and just kind of getting swept up, you know, in the madness of it? I talked about it last week, that we get swept up in the madness. How do we break that? We break it by taking moments to think for ourselves, to call our own shots, to make our own rules, to decide how it is we actually want to live in the world. And it has to come down to moments, at least in the beginning, because the world is, we're busy, and we're, because everything is mediated, because it takes us so much time and effort to do any basic stuff. I mean, just to hang out with a friend or to see a family member that doesn't live in the same city as you, it takes a massive amount of planning and scheduling and everything else, and mental energy. By the time we can just spend time with family, it's usually a very, very thought out, planned type of deal. And that all takes our energy from us and makes us tired and fatigued and more prone to stress and more prone to not taking care of ourselves because we just want to get over that stress. And I think you see the whole picture here. So my bag here every week is to come here every week. And you know, it for a lot of people, it is a reminder, and I will bring up things, you know, repeatedly, not necessarily every single week, but I revisit stuff. Why? Because I want to be that reminder for you. I want to be that balance for you, or maybe one of the balances for you, but something that you can pop in for the hour that I do this per week on average and just get a little bit of almost a reality check, not from, you know, oh, let me check in and see what Sid's telling me to do. That's the opposite of what I want. But how about let me check in, listen to this podcast for an hour, and then I take a few minutes to get back in touch with the life I want to live and who I really am. Okay, good. Now let's get back to the week. And over time, it does sink in. And over time, you start thinking about your life in between maybe the hours of this podcast or whatever else you're doing, whatever tools you're using. And now all of a sudden, the in-between times, you're thinking about stuff and you're taking a moment before you flip the TV on to just take a deep breath and go, okay, like today I did this, and it was really good, and that was me, and I feel really good for doing that. And there was a couple things I didn't, you know, I did that weren't me, and that's okay because this is a process, and I'm thinking about it more than I ever have before, and how cool, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's what if you're just joining me, the only reason I'm saying that is because the deal is, guys, is that I'm in Edinburgh, Scotland right now, and I'm recording this from my room that I'm staying in, and it's like an Airbnb thing. Nice couple. They're getting their master's degree, and so I don't even know what. I didn't even know they had master's degree in Scotland, honestly. You know, I think it's called a master's degree. And so they're a young couple, and they have like an Airbnb thing, and so my wife found this room for me because she's been on Airbnb before. I haven't. And she's like, here, there's a room right here. I was like, done. Done and done. So been busy. So I flew in 3 days ago, landed on a Friday morning-ish, 11 or so in the morning, and got over here and hung out Friday night, got up Saturday, spoke today's Sunday, spoke again at the Edinburgh Veg Fest, and flying home tomorrow. This is a whirlwind of a trip. I would probably have done better adding a few days to just kind of chill, but I got to get back to work and, you know, so on and so forth. And I also don't want to be away from my family as much as I possible. I advise to get back to them. It'd be fun if they were with me. That would be awesome. Then I could do a few more. I could stand to do a few more days. As it stands, I want to get back. And so I'm good with that. Let's get into the videos a little bit, you guys. Anybody who has subscribed to me on YouTube is probably just going, what the hell's going on with that guy? Because I've been doing daily vlog type, I don't know if I technically have a vlog, but it sort of shapes up a little like that, whatever that definition is. And you guys know how much I love labels. I've been putting out videos every day that I've been here, including after I finish this here podcast and edit this thing and get it up, I'm going to edit the day's video that I did. I don't know if I'm going to be continuing this when I get home, because of course I got the busyness of just my regular life. But it was fun to sort of get out there with the camera and document during the day things that I was doing, and just to show you guys pictures of Edinburgh. And I've had a lot of fun with that. So if you're watching the videos, then great. And if you're not, then what the heck? Why wouldn't you watch the videos? I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, go to YouTube and subscribe to my channel. Just search on Sid Garza-Hillman or Approaching the Natural, and those videos will come up. Okay? So I don't have to announce that I'm going to Edinburgh because I'm freaking here. Thank God. I've been announcing that thing for 800 years, and now I'm just here. But pretty cool. Pretty good trip. But more on that, you know, in a second, because I'm going to talk a little bit more about Edinburgh. In the meantime, just a couple quick announcements. This I want to mention the meal plan that I put out with Matt Fraser. And it's called Health Made Simple. Matt Fraser's the No Meat Athlete, in case you're wondering, and you probably already know that. Anyway, nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. People all over the world on that thing. My goodness, that was more popular than I think either he or I ever would have imagined. But it's been going really well. And so people are digging that and learning about healthy eating, and more importantly, how to ease their way in to not get freaked out by it or not spend an inordinate amount of time in the kitchen or mental energy to be stressed out about it. It's supposed to be an easy thing. It's meal plans. You don't get new ones every month specifically. It's set, and then there's the system in place to say, okay, here's how you transition and here's how you make this your own so that you can live a freaking life that you want to live, okay? If your life is about recipes and trying new recipes all the time, which I think is awesome if you have the time and you love it, then that's a cookbook thing and do not get this meal plan. That is definitely not for you. But if you're just trying to eat healthier day by day, maybe you dabble in a recipe now and then, but you want to just work up a regular system, then great. I just, there was an intern at the Stanford Inn who just went back to school. She's a university student and just went back to school. And she was asking me about that because she cooks for herself. And I, you know, suggested to her what I suggest to some clients, but not all. But I said, you know, work up a regular plan, something that you do every week for most of the days of that week so that you don't have to think about it. I mean, she's a student. She was getting stressed out by food. And it's like, okay, decide what you're going to eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And eat the same thing every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, Thursday. And just four recipes that you dig, because as you get to know those recipes, you spend less time shopping because you know exactly where everything is in the market. You spend less time prepping because you've made these recipes 100 times. And you get it, and you don't have to think about it. No mental energy of like, what am I going to make? She's a student. Doesn't fit for her life to have to think that much about food. And then Friday, Saturday, whatever, variables. You know, like you go out with friends or you do whatever. That's just for her. That happened to be for her, okay? And I've recommended this before to people because, again, like we put so much time into food in this modern world. Animals in the wild do not. They don't combine food and prepare food. And again, there's that direct connection. Well, we do. And so because we do, the floodgates open in a way, like it just becomes this thing where we have this expectation of something interesting and complicated. Every time we eat, we have to have just exactly this thing. And it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, there's much more joy to be had sometimes with some people to actually eat some regular stuff most of the time that you know would be great if it were healthy also. And so you're feeling really good and you didn't spend a bunch of mental energy. And then you go out on the weekends and you have something and then you're not as stressed by it because you've been eating really well. So you actually enjoy it more. Your experience of the times where you don't eat as healthy are better because there's no regret. You just go, yeah, I can handle this. I can afford to do this in my own mind, right? Dig it? Okay, anyway, that's Health Made Simple. NoMeatAthlete.com/health-meal-system. Boom. Thank you very much for the iTunes reviews. Got a few more. And I really appreciate taking the time and hearing your views, okay? Great, whether I agree with them or not. And most of them I agree with. And so it's cool, but it doesn't really matter. I want you get on there. You can even just put a rating. You don't even have to write anything because, you know, who has the time? I mentioned the free chapter, but through my website, newly designed, by the way, SidGarzaHillman.com, you can donate or buy non-nutritional products, t-shirts, mugs, WWID bracelets, what would I do? Or a custom signed chapter of my book. I do want to mention the bracelet. I made a decision for this trip to Edinburgh that I was going to bring bracelets and just give them away. And then I thought, well, isn't that unfair? Because the Scots, even though they make the best whiskey in the world, hands down, sorry, every other country that's tried, you fail. Generally, you fail. Okay, I'm not bourbon. It doesn't have the underbelly. Okay, there's good bourbons. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's no Scotch. It's not Scotch. Japanese trying to do Scotch? Don't try to do Scotch. Don't even try. Just don't do that. The truth of the matter is I'm going to start giving those bracelets away with purchase of anything. So if you purchase a t-shirt, mug, or bracelet, sorry, if you don't purchase a t-shirt, mug, or book through my website, you'll get, let's do this, up to two bracelets. Like if you and a friend want a bracelet, buy something else and you'll get two bracelets. Just specify or shoot me an email and just to tell me if you want them to be large bracelets or medium bracelets. Okay. My email address, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. If you want a couple bracelets, just ask for two and you can always give one out. Anyway, I put a big pile on the table and everyone just ran up today and just grabbed them all. The people yesterday didn't get any because I forgot that I was doing that. So today, the people who came on my second talk, they got them and they even got a better talk. More on that in a second. But yeah, yesterday I was not dialed in. May have been the jet lag or may have just been, I don't know what happened. I kind of knew what happened. I had to call an audible in the moment. This Veg Fest was, an amazing event that I was blown away. Like I came out all the way out to Edinburgh for a Veg Fest and there was thoughts in my brain of like, this could be an absolute bust. Like, I don't know what the climate is around here. I don't mean weather because the weather is freaking awesome. I love the rainy, cloudy. That's just my thing. But anyway, whatever. And I just thought, man, this could be kind of a, if I fly all the way out here and there's just like seven people, like I went to that Berkeley event and it was fine, but there was like, and I'm not exaggerating, Berkeley, right? Hippie town, freaking USA. There was like, I would say, I'm not exaggerating, a quarter of the people that were at the Edinburgh Veg Fest. And this is freaking Berkeley. This is like, that should have been slamming. This thing was packed. I walked in, watch my videos, because the first day I walk into this room and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I almost thought like half the people didn't know that they were at a Veg Fest, but they did. Not only that, the booths and the vendors, incredible, like great food and nice people. Scots are, I was here in 2002 and my wife and I were just like, we have got to move here. Like we were obsessed with Scotland. We wanted to move to Scotland. We ended up moving to Mendocino. Why? Because it freaking reminds us of Scotland. I'm not even kidding. In terms of like the cliffs and the ocean and just like that whole thing. And being back here, man, there's something about the Scotch people. They're cool. You know, it's a total generalization. I'm kind of a racist that way. I just think they're all fantastic. And I'm sure there's people that are not fantastic in Scotland. I just never met any of them. Okay. And even if you're not a nice person, if you drink Scotch whiskey, you turn into a nice person. So maybe that's their trick. Americans should drink more Scotch. I mean, that's especially our politicians. What? Okay. Back to the deal. So couple quick announcements just to get these out of the way because they bored the crap out of me. World Veg Fest, October 8th and 9th. Atlanta Veg Fest, that doesn't bore me either. These don't bore me. These are fun. I love seeing them. Just the announcing bores me, okay? Atlanta Veg Fest, November 12th, and I'm running the North Face 50K Ultra Marathon December 3rd with my bud Bree. Sid is on the fence. I don't know if she's doing it or not. I can't keep track of her. I think she does 74 ultra marathons per year. I think I may be exaggerating a tad, but I think that's about what she does every year. She is nutty nut nut. Okay. So I entitled this episode Perspectives from Edinburgh. Now I am in Edinburgh. I told you that already. Okay. Out my window right now are very old buildings. Okay. That's proof. There's just proof number one. There you go. I don't need to prove it anymore, although I did post a picture of me on Instagram about to record this thing. But you can't really tell that I'm in, bro. Watch the videos. That'll be proof. Good. I will say that this is the first time I've been overseas for work. I've obviously spoken at a bunch of Veg Fests in the U.S., but I've never been overseas. And the times, I haven't been to Europe that many times. I'm not like, you really should summer in Europe. It's fantastic. But you know, I went in college, I lived with a family and helped teach their kids English when I was in college in Germany. As a musician, I toured a couple times in all through Europe and went to Scotland, obviously, with my wife. And so, and traveled there one time in 1990 in college in the summer with some friends too. Anyway, so every time I've gone, it's been this kind of like, not magical, but it's definitely got that foreign vibe. I'll just put it that way, right? You're walking around and it feels different. You know, everything's different. Obviously, the cars and the buildings, and it definitely has that thing for me this time. I think the difference for me is that because I'm speaking, you know, I'm here for work, and because of my job, which is to, you know, one of the things I do is speak at things like this and talk to crowds. There was much more of a human to human connection because of the subject matter that I talk about. And so the demystification of this kind of like a foreign, you know, different cultural experience that somebody else has. And yeah, there's a certain extent that's true. You know, they have a much older culture than Americans. And there's that definitely like that traditional thing built into Scots. They have this kind of, there's things that are strings that are through the people. I'll put it that way. But it just proves my point every time that I talk to virtually any human that there is basically way more similarities throughout all humanity than there are dissimilarities. There is the people that I talk to today, once you get past the just wonderful accent, the Scottish accent is like the best ever. But once you get just like a millimeter under there, the same stuff, man, it's the same stuff. It's people raising families. and getting stressed at work and trying to figure out how to manage what they think is a better diet, but they're scared because they've been reading the same stuff that everybody reads, and they all knew about that Italian thing that I railed on last week, and they're reading that stuff, and they, you know, it's just this conflict of like, this is back to the feeling thing I talked about last week. Like, it's a checked feeling. They've done the reading, and now they feel like, oh, it feels like the right thing to do, to change my diet, to eat better, to take care of my environment, and all these kinds of things. But then there's that conflict of that, but that there's fear, and they feel that too, and they're trying to reconcile that with, guess what, their freaking brains. And so, but my point is that we're all the same. I mean, there's surface things different. Yes, their cars look different, okay, but underneath, it's all the same. And so this is a very different experience for me, because there's nothing like, oh my gosh, I'm walking around Scotland. It's kind of like I walk up the street, go get a cup of coffee, and you know, go and speak at this veg fest and talk to a bunch of cool people, and they're great. And I might as well be in any other veg fest that I've ever been to, because it's pretty much similar. Again, two things are different: the accent and just a far superior whiskey. Now, let me talk about the whiskey. And you guys know that I like to be transparent in this podcast. And so I'm going to admit something very, very painful for me to admit. It's hard for me to talk about this. And so please bear with me, and thank you for supporting me. And I'm assuming that you guys are not going to donate to the podcast after listening to this. So I want to thank everybody who has donated. And that's fully sincere. I'm not even kidding. Now I'm going to make a joke. I have not had a whiskey since I've been here. I have not had a single freaking whiskey, and I'm leaving tomorrow morning. That puts a lot of pressure on me. But let me explain something, okay? If you're just joining me, and you may be Scottish because you just learned about me at this VegFest, and you're maybe, I'll check out the new podcast episode, and you're going to be like, what is he talking about? Single malt, it's supposed to be about health and happiness. And so I do like the single malt. Don't drink a lot of it, but I like it. Now, I'm coming to Scotland, and I fully planned on partaking, but here's a reality that presented itself. There was one of two scenarios that I have not been okay with. Scenario number one, I walk to a bar, nay, a pub, and I walk in by myself, and I sit down by myself, and I order a whiskey by myself, and I drink the whiskey by myself. I love whiskey, and I want to go up and taste one, but there's a difference between tasting one with friends and like, oh, that's cool, that's a really good one. Oh, let me try that one. And then just sitting at the end of a bar, just lamenting, but I'm not lamenting, but they're going to think I'm lamenting. And it's just kind of it's just being in a bar by myself. Okay, I'm not like, that's not the guy. I'm not the go to a bar by himself guy. Like, this is not me. Scenario number two, I buy scotch and bring it back to my room. That could be the most depressing thing. That's of the two, probably more depressing. And frankly, I have about one scotch every few weeks. So to buy a bottle of scotch is just, what am I going to do with it? I mean, I guess I can give it to the students that I'm staying with, but then that's kind of creepy too. Here's a partially drunk bottle of scotch as a housewarming gift, since I stayed in your house. I mean, it's just weird. Today I was buying presents for my kids, because I'm under apparently a legal contract. I have made a verbal contract that whenever I travel, I have to come back with gifts. That's just a given. Like, it literally, if I didn't come out with gifts, I'd have to pay for it in therapy for them. Like, it's either way, I'm paying up front, or I'm paying to put them in therapy if I don't bring them a freaking gift every time I leave the house. So in this gift shop, I was buying them, you know, little trinkets. Expensive trinkets, apparently, because the dollar is not doing well against the pound. And so they were selling scotch in this gift shop. And for a second, I almost bought a bottle, because they had these like kind of half bottles. But again, even more depressing, if I bought scotch in a tourist gift shop. Really? Have I sunk that low? Have I sunk that low that I would buy scotch in a touristy? I'll have the Edinburgh Patch. I'll have the stuffed Highland Coo, and then also a bottle of scotch that I'm going to take home and drink in my room by myself in dimly lit circumstances. Okay, Now, with that said, I am mustering the courage. And by the way, if you guys want to know what I'm drinking right now, it's going to blow your minds. Mushroom cocoa. Did I travel with mushroom cocoa? You bet your ass I traveled with mushroom cocoa. Okay, I packed a few bags of that and the that seed coffee because it's instant. So I just kind of threw those in my bag. Turned out to be kind of cool. Like, good. You know why? Because the place I'm staying, no coffee, tea. Earl Grey. Would you like some Earl Grey? I'm like, I don't want freaking Earl Grey. Whether I'm Scotland or anywhere in the world, I don't want Earl Grey. I did have one cup. It wasn't too bad, I have to admit. But I liked having my little coffee here. I got my mushroom cocoa. I had a coffee earlier. Kind of digging that. Bring your own. BYOC. Okay? Yeah. So no scotch yet. I am getting the, what's it called? Courage. To go out tonight. It's my last night here. I might walk up the street and find a bar, and I'll bring a book because that'll be like, oh, he's reading. He wants to go out to read. That's why he's sitting in a bar by himself. Not because he wants to have a whiskey, because he has a book to read. Okay. I did take a couple runs, exploratory runs. No, nobody invited me to trail run in Scotland. I'm a little pissed off about that, but I get it. I was in the city. I don't really know if I could have made that happen. I'm in the middle of the city. With that said, there's a park up the street, so I took a really beautiful run. Again, showed some of that in the YouTube video, so if you want to see what Scotland looks like a little bit in Edinburgh, then go check that out. Very cool, fun. Okay, so let's get into a little bit more business. Eating while traveling, I think I did a video on it once, but here's what I've been doing. I've been basically eating in restaurants, mostly, or at the Veg Fest. They had some incredible like Indian food, like really good stuff. Also baklava, which is one of my favorite things ever. So I got that. For dinner tonight, I was like on my way home, and I had from the Veg Fest, it's been long days. Like I am definitely feeling tired. Like it's with the time change and everything else. I put my feet on the ground when I got here, and I've been sleeping well at night, and it's good, but it's just travel. And so on the way home tonight, I was like, God, I really want to find a restaurant and go walk over there and get the food to go and blah, blah, blah. And it just occurred to me, I was like, done. So I walk up the street. There's a market up the street. I got a little bit of bread. I got some tomatoes, cucumber, mustard, and a bag of salt and vinegar crisps. Now, in America, we call them chips. I think we're wrong about that. I really do. I think they're crisps. I think we should call them crisps. I've changed sides, as it were, on the fried potato front. French fries, I think we should call French fries chips, for instance, because I think French fries is kind of ridiculous. I just don't know why the French got their little dirty hands in our business. Wow, did I don't even know what happened there. I love the French. I just don't think we should call them French fries, okay? Those are chips, and potato chips are crisps. I don't think that's hard. We still drive on the correct side of the road. I don't think we have to change that. So I got some salt and vinegar crisps, and I had I came back to the place I'm staying and made some sandwiches, some veggie sandwiches, and they're freaking good. I think they put horseradish in that mustard because it was spicy and awesome, but super good. And so a couple points I want to make. One, that's doable. Two, yesterday I bought a bag of lettuce, just pre-washed lettuce, and just ate that because I wasn't sure what I was going to have for dinner. And so I literally opened it and ate it while I was editing a video like I would a bag of chips. And it was a full bag, and ate that. And then I went out and got some pasta with red sauce on it and some garlic bread at this cool vegetarian, vegan, like a pizza place called Pizza Nova, or Nova Pizza it's called. And so in Edinburgh, I walked 2 miles to get there, but it was worth it. It was really good. But I had my salad. So there's ways to get around it. Here's the best way. One of the ways you could do when you're traveling is I buy fruit. So I had a bunch of bananas. So in the very least, in the first part of my day, I put something in my body that is kick-ass. And again, this speaks to the most of the time of our lives. If you are just joining me, please go back and listen to old episodes. You will hear me talk about MOT, most of the time. What is your most of the time? For my most of the time, even though I've been traveling more this year than ever before, it's still not nearly my most of the time. I mean, I'm going to Scotland for 4 days, 4 day turnaround. This is definitely not, I'm not traveling for 6 months out of the year, for crying out loud. If I were, I would have to establish a most of the time that worked in that circumstance. As it stands now, when I travel for a few days here and there, I just don't sweat too much what happens. But I take it when I can, where I can. This is the small stepper's way. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to get stressed. I'm not going to get stressed that I'm not going to eat a perfectly healthy meal. Like, I'm sure that the pasta I had last night was white flour pasta. I guarantee it. Am I not sweating it? Not by a long shot. Because I had a big bag of lettuce a half hour before I went to pick up the food. And so the point is that it's an ethic of self-care that I'm getting at. It's an ethic of self-care, which is two things. One, self-care of putting something good in your body, even when you're traveling, when you can, even if it's in the most minimal way. It's like, I'm going to do this here right now. And two, self-care of not being stressed that you're eating one meal that's not super healthy. You know, and it wasn't like super unhealthy, but it wasn't the best thing ever. But you balance that out and you make the decisions that make your experience better. The last thing I want is to travel all the way to Edinburgh and just be stressed because I can't have the perfect meal tonight. I can't have all the micronutrients that I need. I also took a nice run, ate a bunch of bananas, had that salad. I mean, I had some Indian food, which was amazing and had really good stuff in it. But I think the rice was white. I didn't even pay attention. Why? I don't care. Because it's a one-off. It's a one-off. Very liberating for me anyway. Okay, so you got to make that decision for yourself. Now, the cucumber I bought was an English cucumber. You know, because the English cucumbers have to be wrapped in plastic wrap because they don't. I will not go outside undressed. It's uncouth. I must have outer layer because I do not want to be bare and naked like those dirty American cucumbers. And so, yeah, it was that English wrapped up cucumber. So I just unwrapped it and sliced it. It probably hurt its feelings in doing that. But it was super good. I actually enjoyed my dinner and I was here just kind of chilling. I'm like packing up tonight. I got to leave in the morning, right? Okay. Here we go. Some questions that I got at the talks. Well, first I want to mention in the talk yesterday, I had to call an audible because people expected some. I was doing the kid talk yesterday and then just my living the example talk today. The one thing that VegFest didn't do like perfectly was put the talks that I was doing, like they just didn't get on that. And so it just said like both days, Sid Garza-Hillman in my little bio, like it didn't say what I was talking on. So I think people expected that I was just going to be doing the same talk both days. But I was out there on Twitter and Facebook saying, hey, I'm going to be doing, you know, my kids talk Saturday and my other talk on Sunday. So there was a few people who were thinking about the kids talk, but for most people who had never didn't know about me and wanted to find out who I was, showed up not knowing that it was going to be a kids talk. And the last thing I want to do is do a kids talk for people who don't have kids or, you know, or not really like relevant to them, because that would just be pretty boring. So I called an audible in the moment and I did address the children topic a little bit, but sort of couched it in my bigger talk. And so I did that yesterday. But because I called an audible, it was, you know, I got through it fine. I've done this enough to know. But then today, it was definitely more dialed in today. Like I kind of got through it. And yet today in the second row, there was a woman who I'm not kidding. She yawned about 7 times during my talk, just yawned. And I'm going, man, this is a tough crowd. Now, the crowd today was good, big, a lot of people there. And it was full house, really good. But had the yawner. She came up and bought a book after the talk. Just walked up, can I get your book? I was like, you're damn right you can have my book because you slept through the talk and now you want to know what the hell I was talking about? Yeah, okay, I get that. Questions, ultra running questions, running questions, B12 questions, right? How to, make these kinds of decisions in our lives? How to, you know, what do I do in a party? You know, these kinds of things. Guess what? Same questions I get everywhere. It's a thing. And so I wanted to touch upon today a little bit before, because I've been getting a lot of, requests for this just on comments on my YouTube channel and emails and everything else. People do want to know about kids. I have talked about kids in this podcast before. I'm going to get a little specific here, but not very long. So don't even check out if you don't have kids, because you might have kids or maybe you'll never have kids, but it'll be relevant to you. Okay, here we go. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. People want to know exactly, like generally, what my kids eat. And I don't want to feed that beast too much, because remember I always say, like, don't do what I do, find out something that works for you. But what they're asking for is nutritional. I don't think they care that it's like flavored a certain way. I think they want to know, am I feeding my kids, you know, nutritionally, how am I getting around that? And by the way, my 3 kids just had a physical for their school, totally fine, right? Everybody's fine, no anemia, like it's all good, all fine, growing fine, tall, bones are somehow there. I don't know how that's possible without cheese, but they're managing, I don't know how. No multivitamins for any of my kids, me or my wife. They take B12 on occasion and D on occasion, just like we do. If you want to hear that again, just like we do. the number one parenting problem that I see is that parents are not living the example that they expect of their kids. They want their kids to eat healthy, and they're battling their kids to eat healthy, but they're not making strides in their own lives to really live an example and model health and happiness and happiness, I'm going to say it one more time, for their kids. It is first and foremost, if not the only thing. And I come back to that a lot. And this goes to, like I've said 1,000 times, of trying to influence other people in your life and all these kinds of things that we want this, you know, we want people, we feel better in our bodies and we get healthier, let's say. And then we are hyper-focused on the fact that most people aren't that way because it's just true. And when we make a choice to become more ourselves, it's natural to then notice, wow, I never know. It's like I talked about the other day, like when you get healthier and happier in your own mind, you might recognize that you're in a dysfunctional relationship or that you've known, but you kind of haven't addressed it. But the healthier you get, the stronger you get, the more powerful you get, it's natural to say, like, the light turns on. It's like, holy crap. And you notice this now about family members and friends, and you want them to take better care of themselves, and you have this inclination to be like, you should, and you guys know how I feel about shoulds. I hate them. I spit on shoulds. Pugh. But we have that inclination, and it's about you guys. If you feel like that inclination, turn it back inside and say, I got to do what I'm doing better. I just got to keep doing it better. And that's for kids too. Apologies in advance. Forgive me as I go a little bit just real quick into detail about food. You guys know how I generally have tried not to talk about food too much, but I'm going to dive into it right now because I've gotten requests and I want to honor those requests. And I'm glad you guys are curious about it. I am. Thank you. It's the best thing you can ever do for your kids is start good behaviors and habits at a young age. We have this kind of ethic of like, so here's the thing. What I notice is that parents have this thing of like, as long as my kids eat something, like that is we're so worried about our kids starving to death. I just, whatever they'll eat, it's goldfish, just crackers, just they'll eat it. I don't care. Well, you should care because you're feeding them substandard food and it's going to have the same effect on them as it does on you. Now, kids are a little more hardy. They haven't been aging as long as we have. In theory, if your kids are older than you are, don't even get me started on that. That's happened in some southern states. I'm totally kidding. Okay, so we feed them substandard food because we just want them to eat. Well, they eat chicken McNuggets because they'll eat that. Your kids are, unless you're in a place where you can't find food, your kids are not going to starve to death. It is a transitional issue, of course. Is it a small step issue? 150,000%. It is a small step issue. If you're transitioning your kids to healthier eating, I really, really recommend that you go back and listen to old episodes and apply my same small step principles to family. It is not a good idea to change everything overnight and freak everybody out and make everybody angry. I do think it's a communication issue. I think that you have to sit down with your kids and discuss and say, even make it about you and say, listen, I want to start eating better. And so we're going to start putting some really good tasting food, but that's healthier so we can all feel good and be strong and be able to run around and really connect it to the why. Because kids understand that unless they're two, in which case just feed them food. They're not going to be like, well, I don't understand this. We just do not have the level of pleasure that we had a moment ago. They're going to be okay. But if your kids are 5, 6, 7, 8, they get the basic ideas. They get the, and you still give them treats. I do. We give our kids treats. My kids don't eat 100% healthy all the time. They just don't. But our most of the time in the house is healthy. And it's just the balance of, again, more heavy box calories than light box calories. It's pretty simple stuff. Okay. Before I get into the nitty gritty of what my kids eat, I want to mention one more thing. And this comes back to what I talked about last week, which is the feel versus think. One of the things that's difficult as a parent is that we are tired from our own lives. We're tired from the job, from the commute. And by the way, raising kids is its own fatigue, is it not? And so the thing that we also don't want to deal with is taking on our kids and having a battle about food. It's exhausting. I mean, it's exhausting. And so, you know, with exercise, it's getting harder to get kids out the door now. When I was I'm just going to sound super old, but when, you know, I was alive and for the advent of the video game, which was the Atari 2600, which still, by the way, has never been bested. I mean, of all the Xbox and all these kinds, not one of them is better than the Atari 2600. Isn't that amazing? That was a technology in 1980s that has not been improved on. It blows my mind. maybe graphically, like slightly, but not in pure entertainment, just period. Okay, I just want to make that clear. Now it's in a podcast, so it is fact. Done. Moving on. We don't want to take on our kids. It's a battle. We don't want to battle our kids. We have enough battle with our kids. Clean your room, do your homework, that kind of stuff. On top of that, we don't want to battle, and our perception is that there's going to be a battle, and sometimes there is a battle, a real battle about food. Kids say, I'm not going to eat that. We got to stay strong. Parents have to develop in themselves a strength. This is why I talk about self-esteem and self-confidence all the time, because if this is what this is. This is you in your own life. This is you being a parent. This is you being a friend. This is you being a coworker. It is first and foremost about your own power and strength and your ability to hold your ground for your own life and the life of lives of your family. And so this is where this plays number one primo for me, is because we don't feel like taking on our kids, that doesn't mean that that's okay for us not to. Okay, I know this is a tough pill and people want to hear the feel good thing from me, but you know, I don't do that. I don't play that game. This is the fact. We are there to parent our kids. We are there to teach them right from wrong. We're also there to establish, hopefully, healthy habits that are a lifetime. If we blow that off, you are setting your kids up for when they're 20, 30, 40, or I don't know, your freaking age. And think about the battles that we all have as human beings today, as adults, most of us, with food. That's because we grew up the way that we grew up. You have a chance, knowing what you know, to affect change for the good, to set your kid up when they're 20 or 30 to have a basis of healthy habits and, more importantly, self-care habits, taking nourishing, self-nourishing habits mentally and physically. You can have a part in that that is profound, and it's amazing, and it means sometimes discomfort short-term. Gosh, have I ever talked about discomfort in this podcast? Yeah, a billion times, because this plays into this exact thing. Your kids do not have to be your friends all the time. It is okay for you to be a parent. You want to know what my next book is? It's on parenting. Okay, that's the next book I'm working on right now, assuming I find somebody to put the damn thing out, okay? Because this is such a huge thing for me in this day and age, and so, you know, more on that, I'm sure, in episodes to come. Now, what do they eat? They eat, this is going to be a mind blower, predominantly heavy box foods every week. Here's what I mean. They get up. I make everybody a fruit smoothie, okay? My wife and the kids. Everybody, fruit and water. Well, what fruit? Any fruit that I have. Right now, I have just an absolute crap load of apples because I have an apple tree, so literally buckets of apples. So it's a lot of apples, bananas, frozen berries, plums, pluot. Got a pluot the other day, threw those in there. Mangoes, whatever's in season, whatever's cheap. Okay, go to the market. That's on sale. Good, done, done, and done. And go get those things and throw them in there. Fill up the entire blender with water and fruit. Blend it up. Kids drink the smoothie. They'll then have things like whole grain toast. We get like Dave's bread with mashed avocado, some tomato and lettuce if they want, raw almond butter. We'll put that on there with a little bit of jam. But the jam's not healthy. Yeah, but the bread and the almond butter is, and it's the meal. And so if you have a little spread of jam in there, your calories are still more from heavy box foods than light box foods. Huh? Pretty cool, right? They'll have like carrot sticks. They'll have cucumber sticks. They'll have brown rice crackers. For dinner, we do, if you guys want to watch like the Mexican night video then on my YouTube channel, quinoa, refried beans, chopped tomatoes, avocados, and lettuce, and corn tortillas, and they make their own food with salsa. They make their own tacos. We do whole grain pasta with sauteed broccolini and cubes of tofu. That's one of our dinners. Potatoes. We eat a ton of potatoes. Things like that. Now, the pasta, we're not using oil. Like, we just throw a little bit of veggie bouillon in the pasta with a little water and mix that up. You know, we are generally during the week oil-free. Now, you guys know how I feel about oil. I think it's absolute junk food. But do I eat it once in a while? Yes, because what I'm seeing is that this whole oil-free thing, which is now called SOS, salt, oil, and sugar free, okay, this cult of nutty nut nut. And the thing is, nutritionally, couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. But these are the people that cannot have a single granule of added salt, a single granule of added sugar, a single drop of oil because they're unnatural and totally unhealthy, and then be like, okay, great, now I'll see you later, and get in their cars and drive. The car that's a machine that moves you without any effort at all, also pretty nutty nut nut. And then they get in the house and they're just a little uncomfortable. So they turn on the air conditioning or the heater and just get that all perfect for them. They're ready to provide all this unnatural comfort, but they can't have a drop of this one thing. Why? Because our brains are too much in the food realm and they're suffering as a result. Again, I agree with it nutritionally, and I'm not saying you have to eat those things to be healthy and happy. Or to be happy, you don't have to eat oil. If you're cool not eating oil ever because it fits into your life, fantastic. I'm just saying the people I have seen are doing this out of militancy and rigidity, and I've never seen somebody happy. And by the way, a lot of these people I've seen are unhealthy. They are living in bodies that are not healthy. Figure that one out. They're either breaking down from chronic stress or they're eating that stuff in a hidden sort of shameful way, and I hope that that's not the case because that stuff breaks my heart, okay? So again, it has to be a balance that you guys decide for yourselves. I'm not here to tell you. I am here to tell you that I think added sugar, also crap. Do I eat it once in a while? Yes, I do. Most days, not by a long shot. Again, that's for me. Now, that's what we do. Every dinner that my kids have has a salad on the side. It is not something we discuss. It's not something we battle about. It is absolutely normal. I don't say, do you guys want salad? I say, okay, what dressings? My wife and I, what dressings you guys want? They go, I want this, I want the goddess, I want the champagne dressing, and from Trader Joe's, and that's what we give. And it's just a green salad. Sometimes it's literally just lettuce on the plate, a big pile of lettuce. And it's what they do. They don't think about it. Now, this has been their lives for basically almost all their lives. And for the twins, all their lives. Luna, my oldest daughter, you know, we transitioned her to a very early age. This is what is normal for them. We have the communication out there because they know that they eat differently than most other kids. And so we are open about why we make the decisions that we make. And I tell them that's why I can run as far as I can run, because I eat well and they see me having treats too. And so they're watching that balance for me. Okay. But it is a normal thing. Now, how do you get to the point where it's normal? Again, you small step through the transition to make it not painful for you or for your kids or for your family dynamic. It's very important that you embark on a transition in that way. If you're pregnant and you're starting a family, make it easy on yourself and just do the reading on this now and figure out a game plan now, because you can save you and your partner and your kids a world of pain by just starting it out this way. Like, do the work on yourself so that you don't have to make this a huge struggle. That's ideal. But if you already have kids, just make little moves and be clear on your goals and why you're doing it. It'll make it worth it, even given the struggle that's short term. Dig. Okay. Now, I hope that's okay. If you guys email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, if you have any questions about that. Okay, I'll probably do a video on kids coming up, because I'm just finding... That's why I'm inspired to write a book about it, because I'm finding that to be like, maybe it's my age, but that's definitely a lot of the questions that I get is about children. So fine. That's why I do what I do, because I like to see the success that can happen. Okay. And for the next generation, I mean, these are the people that will be supporting me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So I want to talk about life in a bubble. Okay. And this does speak to the sort of SOS madness. And I do think it's madness. Sorry, but I do. Life in a bubble. We can either try to establish a bubble in our lives whereby most people in our lives do exactly what we do. We can say, okay, I want to live this way, and so I want everybody that is in my life to do exactly what I do. Because in a theory, that would be pretty easy, wouldn't it? Like you go to the same restaurants and you don't have a battle, and you don't have to talk about your decisions. They're just like everybody does those same things. Pretty great. Or, and there's the thing about that. That'd be ideal, but it's virtually impossible unless you are in a cult, in which case maybe you took a left turn somewhere that you should probably backtrack and just kind of, you know, okay, more on that later. Never. Or you could try to live in a better world where we are not at all like everybody else. That you can live better in a world where we are not like everybody else. You can either try to establish a bubble of like-minded, or you can say, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not going to put my energy there, but I am going to try to live better in this world that exists today. And I'm going to try to integrate the best that I can given the decisions that I personally make, and understand and through compassion and empathy, because I know that it's a struggle for me, that people are probably going through that same kind of thing, and that I'm going to work on that better for myself. Now, there's like I would say professional athletes, maybe there's a bubble. You know, their social and professional life is sort of intermingled. They hang out with other athletes. They have the coaches. Their job is their athleticism, and it's doing what they do. And it's rarely questioned. They people understand, like, oh, you eat this certain way because you're a professional athlete. And so, you know, when you're at a party and you're in training for something, like, you may not drink a beer at all ever, because it's just not, it doesn't, it's part of your whole life. And so there's no question there. But for most of us, those decisions that we make, if we step just one step into conscious thinking about how we want to live, we are questioned. We are criticized. We are looked at because we're stepping outside this circle of the billions of people that live in the world that pretty much do, a lot of us do kind of the same. Most of us do this basically the same kinds of things. I mean, if there is a bubble, it's not a conscious bubble. It's like a bubble of most Americans eat this way. There is the standard American diet for a reason, because it's the standard frickin' American diet. And when you stand outside that, you do look different than everybody else. It's just a fact. And we can try to say, okay, well, I'm going to stand outside it, but then I want to establish a bubble of other people who stand outside it in the exact same way. And I think that's fool's paradise. I think that that is mental energy. It'd be great, but I think that's mental energy that is going to be just devastating to you. I don't, in my social circles, I don't share a bulk of what I do with most people that I am in a social circle with. It's just right there. Should what? Now, I could lock myself in my house and say, well, I'm not going to ever see anybody who doesn't do exactly what I do for the same reasons. Or I can say, I'm going to do what I do best, the best that I can, and go out. And probably I'm going to have an influence on people, because I have. And it's not even why I do it, but I do. I just see it. And it's just cool that way too. Great. Okay. We can try a, you know, to make even a more individual bubble, where we can say, like, okay, I'm just going to hang out with one other person and just try to maintain this, like, area that you know, where I live and my social structure and everything else is just limited to this kind of thing. I just think it takes a lot more work. And I actually find it, in a way, less interesting. One thing I love about the Stanford Inn, by the way, and if nobody hides this, but just in case you guys are wondering, it's the only vegan resort in the country, in North America, that is. Mexico, US, and Canada. More than 90% of the guests that go to the Stanford Inn are not vegan or vegetarian. I love that. That's ideal. I don't want to be having people come who are just already in that world, and frankly, some of them that are in that world are kind of nutty nut nut. Like, I love talking to everybody, and they're coming for a really great place to stay, and there's no sell here. I'm not trying to sell the Stanford Inn. It's great. I work there. I love it. Okay, what am I going to tell them? I'm not going to lie about it. And so people are coming for fun, and they have this great food, and they're just like, oh, this, what a great time. I don't know if they're going to change. I don't. That's not the whole. That's really not the point. But kind of. I mean, they're open to a different way of doing it. I think it's cool. They're giving it a try, whether they like it or not. And I think that that's pretty good. But more importantly, it's interesting. It's interesting to me, because everybody's in their process. I'm in my own process. I haven't landed and gone, I'm done. Talked about that before. It's a yoga practice. It's like a yoga practice. Everyone's in their own practice, on their own trek. They're learning and they're opening, and they're maybe on some level that another person's, you know, gotten a little farther and got a little less. This isn't an intelligence thing. Not like there's people are smarter or not smarter. They're just in their own trek. I like that. I like the intermingling. I don't want to live in a bubble. It's boring to me if everybody I hung out with were doing exactly, the last thing I want to do is hang out with a bunch of nutritionists. Just boring. I don't even want to talk about food. So why would I hang out with nutritionists and talk about work? I'd rather talk about 1,000 other things. But I want to finish this week by talking about and revisiting, in a sense, that we are an ethical minority. And by we, I mean anybody who just decides to do anything that steps outside that circle, that says consciously, I'm going to do this thing, not because it's in opposition to what most people do. I'm going to rebel and do, I'm just going to do the opposite, because they're dictating your life. But if you say, I am going to do these things, and I don't even know what they are, they don't have to be nearly anything close to what I do, but anything that you do that steps outside of the norm, if you say, I'm going to do this because I believe that this is the right thing to do for me, and incidentally, that thing happens to be completely not what everybody else is doing, you're an ethical minority. You are an ethical minority. And you're going to think this is me saying people are so stupid and bad. I'm not saying that at all, 100% not. People are busy. We are stressed. We are sold fear. If one thing I learned, and I touched upon it in today's video, which you'll see, is fears, I believe, worldwide. Now I know that Scotland isn't a cross-section of the world, but I'm telling you, fear is an amazingly powerful tool. It's an excellent tool, a very, very excellent tool. It's just not moral, but it's a great tool. If you can scare people, boy, it keeps people just focused on that fear, and they're just feeling that fear, that feel, right? And they're just busy, and they don't have time to read beyond the labels and read beyond the headlines and read beyond the talking points. And so they're fear, and they react on their gut level to that fear. And what I saw in Scotland the last couple of days at this event is that same fear. People are wanting to do something that they think is going to be better for them and give them more joy and less fear, and they're up against fear. And it's such a profoundly strong and inspiring thing that people are even thinking about it, that they're not ready yet to give in, that they are feeling that fear and they're still entertaining. And some are actually making the changes, but at least they're entertaining these ideas. That is probably my least favorite, most evil thing in the world is the selling of fear. My most favorite thing is the people who are moving through that and saying, yeah, it's scary and I read these articles and the implication is that I have to be more careful than everybody else because it's very risky. There's a risk there and I don't want to hurt myself and I have kids. What if I damage my kids by doing this? I'm a nutritionist. I have zero fear about what I feed my kids. Zero fear about what I feed my kids. But I'm a nutritionist. But virtually everybody I know that has kids are fearful about what they're feeding their kids, and they're feeding their kids stuff that's not healthy. And mostly, by the way, you guys, this shouldn't have come as any surprise, but it's about protein. They go, as long as I get to eat the protein, I'm okay. Well, the fear goes away. And they think I should be afraid from what I feed my kids, but I know better. And so because I know better, I don't have fear. Doesn't that make sense? That the one thing that can combat fear is knowledge? One of the things, I guess, not the only thing. Because there is a strength associated with any decision that we make to change our lives, even if we take the small step route, which I, of course, advocate for. And this change is incremental and it's not noticeable, but it is change. It is the most brave thing in the world to take one deep breath in the middle of your crazy day because you want to ground yourself and connect yourself back to who you are. Incredibly profound, incredibly brave, and incredibly inspiring. And this trip this weekend is just another just proof that I'm seeing that human beings on the whole, on the balance, are going through the same stuff. I've gotten emails from people virtually all over the world. And what they like about my approach is that it takes the weight off their shoulders. That's amazing. We have a lot of weight on our shoulders. That's a given. And we're sold fear. It's in the subtlest of ways, but it's out there and it's what it infects us. It infects our brains and it keeps us from making the changes that we know in our heart of hearts would make us feel better and be happier as parents, friends, siblings, and coworkers. Done. But that fear can keep us down. And so when anybody makes that move, it's the very definition of strength. It's saying, I'm doing this because of me, because I know it's right, and I'm doing it in spite of all the stuff in the marketplace and on television and in the advertisements that is telling me what I'm doing is going to potentially be damaging. But I know it's not, but man, it's just so hard. And therefore, I'm just going to do it anyway. And I'm going to do it incrementally because I don't want to freak me out or freak anybody out or ruin my family, but I'm making moves. I'm doing something about my life. Strongest position you can ever be in. Taking control of your own life or just trying, right? All right, you guys. I am in Edinburgh, Scotland. I've said that before. I just repeated it because I just had to. I'm in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's kind of weird that I'm doing a podcast from here. But thank you guys very much for everybody who has emailed podcast@sidgarzahilma.com, donated to the podcast, throw me an iTunes review. Like I really appreciate all that stuff, you guys. I really do. Subscribe to my YouTube channel and you know, follow me on Strava. I haven't mentioned Strava in a while. I still dig it. And if you follow me on Strava, I will follow you back. That's the rule. And I've kept to it. Anybody follows me, I follow them back. So I've got a good little community getting bigger and bigger, actually. So it's kind of cool. So that's a really nice thing. I don't care what level of exercise you do. Okay. You walk 5 minutes, post it on Strava. It's positive. It's a positive platform. I'm not connected to them in any way. All right, you guys are awesome. I will be back, and next week we'll be doing this from my home studio once again. But in the meantime, you guys have a good week. Check in with me next week. Take care of yourself, or start thinking about ways that you can take care of yourself. Both are equally powerful and awesome. If you feel the fear, then feel the fear. Feel it. Don't try to make it go away and just go, oh, I'm feeling really afraid. Okay, so how do I want to live my life? What are the things I want to do in my life? Who is the person that I really am? Oh, yeah, that fear is, yeah, it's fine. Who am I really? Okay? All right, you guys. Until next week, be well.
You've been pulled down. Been running to the ground, but you're standing tall before me. Here I'm watching you slip on your thin cloth clothes. Even all the years can't take this away. I never knew what love was till I loved. Never knew what love was till you loved me. We are traveling across. We are being carried across. Separating and meeting again. Here I'm watching you do the most normal of things. My breath is taken away, I am taken away. Till I love you.